Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Grow Diary podcast, where we will take you on a journey breaking down stigmas, myths, and misconceptions of all things hair loss. We'll have some discussions with people in the industry as well as clients, and we'll share their experiences and journeys of hair loss, leading you to the ultimate destination of hair regrowth. Hello and welcome to this episode of the Grow Diaries podcast, where we'll be covering everything off hair loss, any questions that clients have, and we'll be speaking to pretty much anyone within the hair loss industry or any of our clients. I've got the usual co-host here with me, Mark Kinvig, our hair growth specialist and community manager, and it's good to have Mark alongside me as we start this podcast journey.
Good morning. How are we today?
We're good.
Today we have a very, very special guest, someone who's been a part of my life for the last 6 months, and I'm stoked that he decided to join us today. His name is Christopher. Welcome, Christopher.
Thank you. Pleasure to be here.
So we'll just jump straight in. Just a little bit of background information, Chris. Who are you? What do you do? Where'd you come from? How'd you end up here?
It's a long story. Very long story. I'm from the Gold Coast originally, studied at Griffith, but I have been working abroad in Dubai for 18 years and came back a couple of years ago. I'm serial entrepreneur, so I've had quite a few businesses over the years and still running a couple of them over in Dubai at the moment, which gives me some free time over here now that I don't have to go in the office every day. I just monitor things from afar. Met my wife in Dubai, had a couple of kids, and moved back sort of during COVID. Just looking for my next project over this side of the world. So that's the short story.
Sounds epic. Mm-hmm. Life in Dubai, treat you well? You love it over there?
It was great. Yeah, I saw it go from a very small strip of high-rises to one of the biggest, most futuristic cities on the planet. It's been great being sort of part of that, really. Kind of everybody's contributed in their own way, and I enjoy the ride. It was amazing. I got to see the world from there as well. It's a very central place to explore the world, so loads of travel. So I'm going to miss that now that I'm
stuck down
miles
here.
Away.
Stuck down here.
Fiji, maybe.
Fiji or New Zealand.
It's an insane place, Dubai. We've been there on holiday. We had friends that live there. Again, they emigrated there from the UK, and we went over to visit. And, yeah, they lived there for about 15 years. And, yeah, it was just a different world. Like you said, very futuristic. And but, no, always good to go there. But, I get the... wanted to jump into the reason why we've got you on the Grow podcast, on the Grow Diaries podcast, is because you're a recent client, and you recently came into, like Mark said, been a part of Mark's life for the past few months. You've had a recent procedure with us. Do you want to just tell us a little bit about your journey of how you... You know, we can go right back to the beginning if you want. You know, right back to the beginning of your hair loss and how you kind of ended up this way. And, you know, obviously we'll jump in.
You reminded me of something. I think it's a good place to start. I lived in Japan when I was 20 years old. And I remember hair coming out in handfuls about 6 months into living over there. And my mum reminds me of these letters I used to write to my Dad, you bastard. not that I ever really lost the lot. I just sort of slowly receded at the corners over the next 20 years. But I always knew that the day that the island broke away from the mainland was the day I was going to do something about it. So I think that day sort of was imminent. And I've explored all sorts of options. There are some options in Dubai. none that I really felt comfortable with. I think I'm not sure how I came across Grow. It must have just been through social media or something like that. But I really liked the results that I was seeing, and that you captured the journey from prior to the head shave to the days after, and then those sort of significant milestones throughout the year. And also to sit across the table from a couple of people that have had it done. And like Mark did when we first met, he leant forward and went, "Do you want to touch it?"
I remember it differently.
Yeah. Can I touch it?
Yeah.
But going back to those early days in Japan, when you spoke to your mom and you were cursing your dad out, at that point, do you think it affected your life? Was it something that you thought about a lot 20 years ago? Or?
Not so much. I think it's been a slow burn for me. So some of my friends lost it all before they were 30, but I was really just receding in the corners by the time I was 30. So it was like a slow moving, car crash, I guess.
Level of acceptance was building.
Yeah, well and truly. Years,
yeah.
But there was a point, I guess, in my 30s where I was starting to really having to cover up and change my hairstyle, and when I'm in the water, move my hair around and wear hats a lot more than normal and that sort of thing. And I also find myself scrutinizing other hairlines and even just watching movies, I'd be looking at hairlines of the actors.
Was that coming from like an envious place?
Yeah,
or from a
envious place? Envious definitely place, yeah. And I never thought I'd actually get to this point, though. Never thought I'd have the strength to do it. Like, it for me, I think, I was really worried about how I'd be perceived by my friends. Not that I don't have a great group of supportive friends, but everyone's got their smart ass mates as well that like to drop a bombshell at a table of 20, but here I am 5 days out, and I'm telling everyone.
Yeah, and I think that's a really good topic, is that I would, by nature, I'm somewhat of a smart ass, right? So, in your logic, I would be one of those people at that table of 20 that is likely to say something. I think the world maybe just feels like it's changed a lot in the last 10 years. I don't know if it's maturity, on my level. Like, I'm still a smart ass with a lot of things. But when it comes to, mental, physical health, general well-being of humans, I feel like it's not really the same joke anymore. It's not a joke, right? As society, I feel like we're a bit more accepting of, you know what?
Yeah.
Good for you. Yeah. Well done. It's not a joke. It's something that means a lot to you.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Because, as we dive into it, Andy, we've all been on that journey, is that those years before you take that step, you're kind of alone, right? You're alone in the way that you feel about it. You're not talking to your mates about going bald. You're not really pretending like it. You're not acting like it bothers you. Mm. On the inside, that can feel pretty different, right?
Yeah.
I know it did for me.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. It's something that's, just one of the many things that sort of, puts a little weight on you that you probably you're not aware of consciously, but it's there.
Yeah. I mean, given that you were, looking at yourself, scrutinizing yourself, looking at other people's hairlines, the effect of that's not small, right? On your life, really. When you look at where you are today, and you just touched on it before, saying that you were letting everybody know about your hair transplant a month ago, that would never have come out of your mouth. No. They were not the conversations that we were having.
No. I was going to slowly release myself into the wild, stay indoors until I got sort of back to where I was in terms of the length of my hair and all that sort of stuff. But yeah, as I told you guys just earlier, that when I was going through the website, looking at all the results and seeing people that had literally just come out of surgery doing sort of selfie videos of themselves going, I can't believe how awesome I look. And I was looking at them going, mate, you're covered in blood. You've got a bandage around your head. Give it some time. But I did the same thing. It surprised me. Once I was in the surgery and they were sort of prepping and where the line was going to sit and all that sort of stuff. I was comfortable. That's the last you see of that moment until you stand in the mirror on your way out. Mm-hmm. The minute I saw myself, I just said, he's nailed it. It's exactly how I wanted it to look. Very natural, age appropriate. I was just stoked that he just, and I, it's not like I had to check it along the way. Yeah. Just sat back, relax, let Rook do his thing. And I was stoked. And then obviously I went out into the lobby and my wife and kids were there. And I was like, how awesome is this? They all sort of reeled in horror. Yeah. My wife was speechless for a moment. But I'm like, what? But
it's quite a surreal feeling, isn't it? Like, I was just explaining before, like, it's quite hard to put into, because, yeah, you know, the hairs of, they're physically there because they've been implanted there, but you can't see the hairs straight after the hair transplant. You know, you've got the little bumps that are all there, and it's all red, and it's, like you said, it doesn't particularly look, you know, look very nice, but it's just...
No one's putting you on the front cover of Vogue magazine no. 5 minutes after your hair transplant.
It's the feeling that, you know, you've done it. Like, you've done it, it's been done, and now you're kind of looking forward to the next, you know, the next few weeks, the next few months, as, you know, as the scabs come and the scabs go and then the hair comes.
Yeah. And I think it's, you get to see your face framed not as it was, you know, when you were, you know, young, definitely a younger man, but it just brings your proportions all back into alignment. I felt like, with, you know, my forehead and peak sort of maxing out, I really, you know, it was quite a dramatic change. You know, from the minute I walked in the morning to leaving in the afternoon, it was like, okay.
I mean, I was there 2 hours early for work on your surgery day. I still had some nerves, you know, up until the point that the anesthetic injection went in. So I think that that's a really good place to, like, what we'll start talking about now is how you got there was slightly unconventional, I would say, you know, given that it was your third shot at a hair transplant. Is that right?
Well, I guess technically... It was. I was booked in with Grow, I think...
2 years ago?
Just over a year ago. My plans got kind of sidetracked by someone with a better opinion. I got pushed down the path of, you know, get a second opinion. You know, it's like boob jobs. There's good ones and bad ones. So, you know, make sure you do your homework, rah, rah, rah. I know this guy. He, blah, 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 knows everyone in the industry. Mm-hmm. So that began sort of a bit of doubt on where I was heading with Grow. And then I sort of ended up, I never got to meet this guy. A lot of phone calls and other people from the industry were around when we were talking, and he was handing the phone around, and they were kind of dissing Grow for being the little upstarts that are, you know, great at marketing, and that's about it. And put a lot of seeds of doubt in my mind.
Just a quick shout out to Andy for being great at marketing.
Yeah.
And the team.
Yeah, there you go. I guess I got influenced in another direction. So I cancelled my appointment with Grow, and I booked with this other company, And actually, I think it was almost the exact same date I had this year, last year. So it was 12 months to the day, I think, that I was booked in there. And because of COVID, I never actually saw the doctor. I had a consultation over Zoom. And then I had a couple of worried calls with the doctor. And he's a great, lovely guy and very skilled. Been in the business for a long time, like 30 odd years. And so okay, all right, I'm in. So I'm booked in, and I'm I won't go into too much detail on the location, but you know, I thought I was heading to the high street, and I ended up in the Bronx big time, you know. So that was a first alarm bell. Second alarm bell was I was met by one of the nurses who would, you know, get me to fill in the forms, get me all prepared, and the doctor would be in at 8. And so I did all that, and their procedure is slightly different to grow. They use like a crescent scalpel to make small incisions. The doctor does the extraction, and then he basically designs your hairline with a crescent scalpel, and then the nurses do the implantation in the afternoon. So that was a bit of a concern for me from the outset, and but you know, I'm going with my gut, not with my gut, with these recommendations. And anyway, I have to go to the bathroom, so I walk past the reception desk, and the nurse is asleep on the counter. And I'm thinking, this woman is going to be in charge of my future face. I mean, so by that stage, you know, I was 1 foot out the door. And the doctor finally came in, you know, and he could see that I was not mentally ready.
Mm-hmm.
And that I was quite worried about it. And
if she didn't sleep, do you think you would have? Was that the tip of the iceberg, or was that
was the tipping point? I think. Perhaps I would have got over the line if it had been a better start to the day.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, she's the one that came in and said, "Look, mate, if your heart's not in it now, it's a long day and."
I was like, she just wanted to get back to bed.
Yeah, exactly. She pretty much packed my bag and walked me to the car, gave me my check back, and waved me off.
Yeah,
and they had the day off. So then you know, the story continues. But that was the last they saw of me, and they were very good about it. They gave me my money back, etc.
Yeah,
and then I took the whole plan off the table indefinitely. When I left there, I said to my wife, "That's it. I tried. It's not for me, you know." And but what I found is I had to go through that process. I had to. I'm a details guy, and I need to explore every path until I find the right one, which can be frustrating
for
people around me. But I had to go through all of this to sort of buy in with Grow and book it to begin with, to be sidetracked, to come back to what was the right choice in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
And
that must have been really tough, like the days, the weeks after leaving surgery. It must have been,
Were you disappointed, or were you like, did you feel like a bit of relief that you didn't have to go through it?
It's
like
funny, actually, I haven't really thought about it since then, but I had a bit of a meltdown of sorts. I had a bit of a panic attack.
Yeah.
That kind of sideswiped me. I was just out having a couple of beers with a mate, and I had a bit of a stressful day at work, and then my dad had some very pressing thing he called me about, and he's not one to do that. And that, I hung up the phone, went back to the table, and had a full-on, like,
panic attack.
Yeah. Had to get an attack. I had to excuse myself. Dive rolled out, got an Uber home, and just had to sort of lay down, calm myself down. And I think it was just, I put so much pressure on that decision.
Yeah.
And then it was a busy time as well. And we've just moved as a family across the world. Yeah. And all these things were just piling up on top of each other. And it just, yeah, it took me down.
I think that's, like we've spoke about it on here before, but that weight that a man carries around, the expectations of, you know, not only for themselves, but, you know, we talked about it briefly, I think, in the last podcast, Andy, where, you know, there's that decision just for a man to go, this is going to cost me this much money. You know, that could be a holiday for my family, or it could be this. And I think by nature, we're not selfish people, really, you know, like men. I think that the perception of us, you know, I think my wife would say that I'm selfish sometimes, but really everything that I do is not for me, you know. So come into that decision that you're going to do something and then it not happening, I can't even imagine, you know. I can see why you ended up where you were. You know, a couple of other things pile on top. It's
yeah, my wife had well and truly had enough of it by then as well. So, so yeah, it was best that I walked away from it and took it completely off the table until I was ready again. And I was because I'd had my head shaved for that procedure, and I have shaved my head in the past. I thought I look all right like this. You know, it's not a bad thing. So. Yeah. And so I felt a lot lighter, and I guess that also allowed me to sort of more comfortably rebook my appointment and move forward.
What did that feel like? How did that day come? How did you come to that point where you're like, I'm ready?
We're back again.
There were a couple of points, actually. I think the one that got me over the line, well, got me in the door, originally I'd seen Marius.
Yeah.
And he'd moved to Brisbane, so I phoned him up and came clean about why I cancelled his appointment and what had happened with the other company, which he found hilarious. But I, what prompted the call was he did a video talking about how much he couldn't believe that his hair had affected him. Now he was
hairy.
Yeah, now he was 10 months in or something like that. And you could see the sincerity in his face, that he was really like, he's like, I knew this would be great, but this part of it has been really surprising, like how much of that I was carrying, and that really resonated with me. And also, I saw him before his procedure. So when I went in and booked mine, I was like, man, how are you selling? How are you selling these services with, you know, you got hair like mine? He's like, I'm booked in. I'm booked in on, you know, September 1st or something. I was like, okay. So I've seen him. You know, there's been a real life example in front of my the face. Most
correlation
of the way.
Between his journey and when you first came to grow.
Yeah, and we have, I guess, similar hair in a way, and seeing it sort of go through all those stages, then coming out, and that sort of when you get into that 9-10 month zone where it really starts coming together. So he said, let me connect you with Mark and just go see him. And I was like, yeah, that's a good idea. So, and then, yeah, when I met Mark, he just made me feel really comfortable. And just sat there and basically you said to me, go, you know, ask me whatever you want, have a look at mine, you know, what are your fears? You really went deep with me, and I got it all out, and I left there on a high, like on a real high, like for the first time, excited about the idea. And I had breakfast with my wife and I was like, I'm doing this. I'm doing it. It's happening. Like, and I'm actually excited about it. So, and she was, I could see that she was pleased, and I was at peace with it now. I was ready mentally to do it. So,
yeah. It's a, I think we're talking about, and like you said, you know, we're going in deep about this, but it's such a big decision for guys, for blokes. Like, it's not just a lot of these decisions for everybody that comes to grow. It's not just made on a whim or, you know, I've seen it, like you said. I think your story is so like so many others, where it's just a culmination of years of thinking about it, not knowing what to do about it, but then a solution comes along, but then solution's not always straightforward to actually go ahead with it. I think it's probably very rare for someone to find out what they want to do, find out who they want to go with, what they want to do, book it, do it, and then be like, there's so many things like that get thrown in the way.
My mate said to me last night, I had a call from Dubai and we're talking about it, and he said, because he saw I was back in Dubai for a couple of weeks and had lunch with him. I was like, I'm really nervous, it's coming up, you know, I've got 11 days to go. So he's like, yeah, you'll be right. But he said, you know, if you spoke to a 16-year-old about it, it'd be, you know, no drama, right? Yeah. The world's changing, and that the younger generation, all of this sort of stuff will be just an option for them. But for me, you know, I'm 50 at the moment, and so I grew up through the plugs of the 80s and the really bad phase of and the stigmas around it and the advanced hair that all of that
is, does it really work, is it
does it work hair? but they weren't great then, you know. I remember watching a stand-up comedian saying, you know, there's a lot of things that people say where they say, why didn't I do this sooner? There's one thing that, you know, perhaps you shouldn't, and that's a hair transplant. They look pretty good now, but, you know, you don't go, I wish I did this 20 years ago.
Yeah. Oh, you mean now?
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, you definitely probably didn't want to do it 20 years ago. But even now, you know, there's a lot of, and that's where some of the anxiety comes from. Like, you know, we talked about it. Like, I remember the scariest thing was not knowing what you would look like at the end, right? Because you have no idea.
No.
You know, what is that going to look like? Yeah. It's something I know that we spoke a lot about in the lead up. And I'm happy that I was able to help you, because I felt a burden of trust in a good way, right? That I was responsible for making sure you got exactly what you wanted.
Yeah.
You know, and I think you definitely got it.
Yeah, well, so far so good. We're 4 days in, but I really like the way it looks shaved. And that was always my the fallback, right? Like, I'm going to have to buzz it anyway. So what's the worst that could happen? I have a better hairline with a shaved head. And, you know, I've got a four-day growth up there. It's healing pretty quick.
It looks good.
I think it looks good as it is. So it'd be interesting to see. And I'm really excited about the options that I haven't had. Sitting in a barber's chair for 20 years. I got a 10-year-old boy and he's got incredible mop on him. And we go get a haircut together, and I watch the barber cutting his hair while I'm, and then I look back to myself in the mirror and sigh.
Not for long.
So I'm looking forward to all of that.
What do you expect to change internally, what do you think that now you're post hair transplant, what do you think that new world looks like for you?
I'm not sure. I've kind of, when I turned 50 this year, I've got an image in my mind of where I want to be on numerous levels when I turn 60. So I'm sort of setting new goals and stuff professionally and whatever. But also wanted, and I guess this might have helped get me over the line this time as well, is I want to look good when I'm 60. I don't want to look like an old man. I want to look like I still, you know. my wife's 10 years younger for a start, so I've got to sort of maintain, but I've got young kids. I've got a 4-year-old as well. So, I just I guess that's part of the future me. This is and it feels good. Like this is a good sort of step one, you know.
Yeah, and you already feel like the weight that you were carrying is gone.
Mm. Yeah, I do. Yeah,
I think one of the things that we always say, you know, we like to, through what we do, we help people build their confidence back up. And obviously we can't do that tangibly. The way we do it is by helping people restore, you know, restore their hairline.
Mm.
And you as a successful, you know, businessman, entrepreneur, and so like you said, some of the plans that you've got for the next 10 years, do you think, I know it's fairly early on, it's early days, but do you think that just not having to, you know, not having that worry that you've had for the past, you know, 20 odd years now, that you can focus on those goals completely? And
yeah, I'm sure that's definitely part of it. I think the next 10 years would have been catastrophic to my hairline, that's for sure. So having that, you know, having that concern sort of off the table is definitely feels good. Yeah, and I think sort of with that confidence, and I'm only a few days in, but the way I'm feeling now is I do keep fit, but you know, you want to
keep that,
have that translate, you know, right down to your feet basically, and make sure that you're looking your best as you sort of get a bit older. So
Do you do other beauty regimes, I guess? Do you take care of yourself in any other ways apart from
No.
Nah.
No. Maybe a bit of like moisturizer in the morning.
That's about it. Because you look good for 50. You don't look 50. I don't think you look 50.
Oh, it's the hair, mate.
It is the hair. I don't know if you looked 50 before, but definitely got a glow about you this week.
Yeah.
Definitely, you know, that twinkle in your eyes.
Yeah, yeah. No, I definitely... It's one of the biggest things I've ever done in my life. So and it doesn't feel like that on the other side. So I guess if that sounds familiar to anyone that might be listening out there, I was very worried about it. I put it off for years, but I've scrutinized everybody's hairline that's been on any website and blah 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 blah, and ultimately, when you come out the other side and it's your own hair, it's been put in individually where your hair used to be, you know, it just all comes together. It just looks like you, and it looks, feels natural, feels right, and sort of all that, you know, all that sort of fear and apprehension evaporates in that moment when. Yeah. And the crew on the day are just amazing as well.
They made it
so comfortable and almost fun.
Yeah, I was talking to you about this yesterday. There's that, you know, there's something strange about the feeling of that day and the feeling afterwards. It's what I experienced anyway, and it sounds like what Christopher experienced and you did. You know, it's just, I know everybody's different and some people can find the experience different, but you know, we try and make it as comfortable as possible. You know, the teams that do the transplants themselves will always, you know, we'll have a chat with you. You can obviously watch TV. It's not like a, you know, I think I likened to it a while back to, there's like a scene in The Minority Report, the film, where they take out his eyes and put new eyes in, and it's like a, but it's just so, just like a calming atmosphere that's in the clinics on the day. And for me, and I think for a lot of people that go through it, just that just helps, you know.
Yeah, I think one of the biggest comments that we get is, oh, it's not like I thought it was
going to
be.
No,
you know, no, that's so much easier.
No pain at all. I mean, the initial anaesthetic's the only thing you feel.
Mm-hmm.
And that's over really quick, and yeah, just really supportive people, good vibe in there, like good music, good banter. The day just flies by, really. I nearly had a snooze at one point. it was couldn't have gone better. Like, I feel like I have this connection with everyone in the room, you know. Yeah. Like,
and you will when you go for your follow-ups, yeah, and you go in for the laser treatment and PRPs later on, if that's what you're going to do. You know, every time you go in the clinic now, it's
yeah,
they're part of the family. Yeah, they know you, and you know, and yeah, it's like a bit of a. And I've seen guy, you know, as you're going in, and another guy might be coming out, and they'll have that conversation. Oh, how far along are you? And yeah. And it's really nice to. I used to be working the office and sitting around the back, and it used to be really nice to hear those conversations between two blokes that were, they'd made the same decision, whether they were, you know, one was one day post transplant and the other one was 10 months post, and they'd cross paths and they did have a chat, yeah, and say, and it, I don't know, it's just there's like this. And we obviously talk about it a lot through the Grow Diaries, and what we do is, you know, try and build a bit of a community of blokes that can help them make the right decision, whether it's for them or not, yeah, and well, just be there.
That's certainly true for me. I reached out to Philip as well. I think he's in Melbourne.
Sydney.
Grow Diary Philip. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So he's had an amazing result.
Yeah.
And yeah, I dropped him a message on Instagram, and he teed up a call, which was very kind of him, and we had about a half an hour chat, which was really helpful.
Yeah,
he definitely helped, you know, calm a few sort of fears, I guess. But he's a good lad.
Yeah.
So yeah, and I definitely took something away from that as well, because he was saying that in terms of the volume and what he was he knew he went in with a real his own plan, I guess. Not everybody does that, but he's like sort of had a certain number that he was looking to achieve and this sort of thing, which I hadn't really thought about, and that's why I sent you, Mark, that note. What do you think I'll get? You
know? Yeah, yeah.
And so it was another consideration, that another question I needed to ask you that he raised. So it was helpful, that's for sure.
He's good, and he was on the podcast not long ago, and he's a real avid supporter of men's health as well. And I think that's really what you're talking about, is just men having conversations with men, which for some reason isn't always part of most people's daily lives. And the more we can widen that community and start and encourage those conversations, I think the better we all are, right?
100%.
Yeah.
100%.
Because it just breaks it down. So we're almost done, I think. If you could leave us with a little pearl of, anyone out there who you think might be in a similar situation, in the same thought process as you, now you're post hair transplant, what if you could say something to them, what would it be?
Okay. Well, definitely, look, I think the industry has come a long way, the technology has come a long way, and the results are so natural now. That there's never been a better time to go and talk to someone about it. The great thing about these guys here at Grow is usually sitting across the table from someone that's recently had the procedure, so you can literally see, because you take a picture of yourself, no matter what filter you put on, you never look as good as you do in real life, right? The lighting's wrong, it picks up, and you don't get a clear picture of how great the results are in real life. And also, 99% of things we worry about never happen, right? So I've bumped into a few of the people, I've gone out in public three times since the procedure, comfortably having conversations at the coffee shop and all of that, not caring at all.
Yeah.
And bumped into a few of my sort of smarter mates, who have blown me away with their love and support. Everything I thought was going to happen didn't happen, and I'm just really just so happy, and Couldn't recommend it more. It's the best decision I've ever made. So,
oh, that's good. I just really want to thank you for your time and for coming on the podcast.
Pleasure.
It's your story is really unique, but at the same time, it's probably what a lot of guys go through. And it's been great to have you on, and we'll obviously be following your regrowth. Hoping it all goes well. We'll maybe revisit in 12 months and get you back on and
come in here with a top knot.
I think it's really important just to focus on the dream that we're creating over the next 12 months, which in a text from yourself, Christopher, was, I want to be the 50-year-old poster boy for the clinic. So, that starts today. And
I'll make a note.
You'll see him on billboard soon.
No, that's great. And on that note, we thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
Thanks, Mark.
Thanks for having me.
It's a pleasure.
Cheers. Thank you for listening to this episode of the Grow Diaries podcast, brought to you by Grow Prescription Hair Care. If you would like any more information on hair loss or anything discussed in this podcast, please visit growclinics.com.au for all your hair regrowth needs.